Good Morning America shared a wish list, a Christmas wish list that a father had sent of his seven-year-old daughter. And it contained some not-so-unusual items, such as a new American Girl doll of the year 2014, or a bead kit like her friends, but then it got a little unusual. I don't know if you can read it, but the next thing is a little thing that can turn into anything at any time. Now, that'd be nice to have, wouldn't it? If that wasn't enough, she asked next for $1,000. $1,000. A new canopy that glows up. A grill. I'm sure that was for her dad. But she seemed to want to benefit from it. And a black, light blue, green, purple, and pink North Faces. I'm assuming that's the jackets. And I think they're about $100 each. So that's going to be quite a list if dad does all that for her. And it is the time for wish lists, and we enjoy that. But I want to ask you something. If you had a choice between a wish list or a with list, which would you choose? A wish list of things that you might, of material things that you might like, or a with list? A list of people that you want to be sure or that you desire to spend some time with. And I'm thinking as we grow older that it's the with list that is going to be much more meaningful to us. With list. It's like grandma who starts calling and asking, "Are you coming home for Christmas?" Several weeks in advance. And it's not because grandma wants that Christmas present that you're going to get for her. But grandma wants family around her during the holidays. It's the with list that is much more important to grandma. And I want you to think about a with list in light of what is said about Jesus fulfilling a prophecy. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." I want to emphasize the with of that translation. God with us. You see, human beings have a strong with need. There's an old song that says people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. But really, people who need people are the only people in the world. We all need to be with someone, to have close friends, to have family, to have those relationships. The with need is strong and it's not wrong. However, we must be careful about how we strive to fill that with need. The way we fill it can be wrong. But we were created to be relational beings. We were created primarily to need a with relationship with God. And many try to fill that with need with something else besides God and are frustrated because of that. But we were made for life with God. We often think of God above us, and in many senses that's true. However, if that's all that we think about God, then we think about God being far away. But then with the announcement of the coming of Jesus to be born as a babe, but to grow up to be a man and to die for us, we're introduced to this name, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's explore that name a little more closely for a few moments. You see, Emmanuel is God identifying with us. It's God identifying with us. I read about a 19th century missionary named Joseph Damien who ministered to lepers on the island of Molokai, one of the Hawaiian islands. And the people there just loved him because there weren't many who would come and minister to them with that terrible disease. And there was one morning as Damien was preparing to lead worship that he was pouring some hot water into a cup when some of that hot water spilled onto his foot. And the astounding thing was, he didn't feel it. And so he, just to make sure this was the issue, he poured a little bit more hot water on his foot and he didn't feel it. And he knew immediately what that meant, that he had leprosy now. When he would begin to deliver his sermon, he was known to have begun every time by saying, "My fellow believers." But on this particular day, when he got up to speak, he began, "My fellow lepers." You see, now he could fully relate to the condition of those people to whom he had been ministering, because he had leprosy as well as they. Damien's experience portrays the wonder of the incarnation, that Jesus is God with us. He came to identify with us. He came to experience life and even temptations as you and I face, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. But Jesus, being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation, says Philippians 2, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men to live among us, to identify with us, to know life as we live it. The Hebrew writer informs us of the importance of the incarnation. "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." You see, because Jesus is God with us, because he was made like his brethren, he understands us. I thought about that song that we sing. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Therefore, he is able to help. He has shared the human experience with us, and he knows firsthand how to help. Some of you may remember this photo that surfaced last year, in July of last year, of George H.W. Bush with his head shaved, holding this little boy, 2-year-old boy, whose head is also bald. I read an article by Neil Pollard during that time that posed the question, why did George Bush shave his head? Well, here's the rest of the story. George Bush, 89 years old at the time, saw several of his Secret Service agents with shaved heads, and he began to inquire why that was. And he learned that one of the Secret Service agents' 2-year-old son, Patrick, was battling leukemia, and because of the treatments, had lost all the hair on his head. And so the Secret Service agents, many of them had shaved their heads to show their support for their co-worker, and to show their feelings for his son who was battling this disease. And so Bush was motivated to shave his head, also in support of little 2-year-old Patrick. But that's not all. You see, George and Barbara Bush had lost a child at 4 years old, a child named Robin, nearly 60 years before. And the former president and his family knew from experience the toll that cancer can take on a person's life. So it wasn't just solidarity. It was sympathy and even empathy that the former president was saying, "I understand. I understand what you're going through." God with us means God understands what we go through. Why George Bush shaved his head is a good question, but why did Jesus become a man is an even greater question. And the answer is so he could understand, to identify with us. He wants us to know that he knows all about us, not just because he created us, not just because he observes us, but because he identified with us when God became flesh and dwelt among us. But I want you to see a second thing. Emmanuel, the name, God with us, points to God staying with us. God staying with us. This time of year, Christmas time can be a difficult time for some, especially for those who are lonely. And this time of year does not mean the end of relational pain, but it means the beginning of understanding that God understands, because Jesus knows all about loneliness. He knows what it's like to bury a loved one. He knows what it's like to be rejected by others, even in your own hometown. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood by your own family, to have your very best friends deny you. Jesus has experienced that. He knows what it's like for a fickle crowd to cry Hosanna one day and crucify him another. In fact, in some sense that is beyond our comprehension, Jesus even knows what it means to be separated from God, to experience withlessness with God. We see that as Jesus is hanging on the cross for our sins, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in some sense, God turned his back on his son as he bore the brunt, the punishment for our sin on the cross. And in so doing, suffered that withlessness from God so that we wouldn't have to anymore. You see, God continues to be with us. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13, verse 5. In fact, that Matthew 1, verse 23 passage that says, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's the beginning of the book of Matthew. And at the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus says to his apostles, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. It begins and ends with I'm with you. I heard a statement, and I believe that it's true, that the most often repeated command in Scripture throughout the Bible is do not be afraid. The most often repeated command, do not be afraid. And I'm going to cite some examples for you of people, heroes of the faith, who were told, do not be afraid. Because these commands were important, because fear accuses God of deserting us. So you're not going to be surprised whenever this command is given, do not be afraid. It's almost always accompanied by, for I am with you. Here are those examples. Jeremiah feels woefully inadequate for the call that God has made for him to be a prophet. And God says to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is Jeremiah 1, verse 5. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, this is Jeremiah, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Moses also felt woefully inadequate. You remember, God called him, and he was full of excuses. And one of those excuses was, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God's answer, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Do not be afraid, Moses. I am with you. When Moses died and Joshua was selected to be the new leader of Israel, to actually lead them across the Jordan River into the promised land, Joshua was scared. And the message that God gives to him again is, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Paul suffered so much persecution, even to almost losing his life. In Acts chapter 18, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you." Over and over we find, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." And we as Christians need to understand that because Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us, that also points to the fact that He's with us even now. And therefore we do not need to be afraid. We need to take to heart Isaiah's words, Isaiah 41 verse 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Fear leaves when we believe that God stays. One of the most well-known songs that has ever been sung or written says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." Emmanuel, God with us, points to the fact that God continues to be with us. And He will not forsake us. And therefore, we don't need to be afraid. But there's one more thing. Emmanuel also points to a forever with. A forever with. It points to the ultimate withness with God. Revelation 21, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. His dwelling is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" God will be with them. That's the ultimate. In light of that, how about this for a wish list? I want a world without cancer, without abused children, without divorce, without cemeteries. I want a world where I can be with God and the redeemed of all the ages in heaven forever. That ultimate wish list is really a with list, to be in a world where the things that can separate us, the painful things, are no longer, and we spend an eternity with God and with those who are in Christ. But you see, that world is not possible except for the fact that God came down to us and was with us in the person of Jesus, so that He could identify with us, be made like His brethren, and understand us, but even more, to become one of us, to live among us, and then to die for us, to make propitiation, to pay the price of redemption for our sins. Because the only one who could take our place and pay the price for our sins had to be the one who was like us, yet without sin. And only Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, could do that for us. He became one of us and God with us to save us. Emmanuel, God with us. How will you respond to that great love that sent Jesus to be born as a baby, yes, but to grow, to live as a man, to set the example for us? But then ultimately, this baby was born to die, and He died on the cross as our representative to take our sins upon Himself so that we might be saved from our sins and experience withness with God, to be in relationship with Him now and for an eternity in heaven, where those things that would separate us are no more. We hope and pray that if you've not become a Christian, you've not accepted that gift that Jesus made possible, that you'll respond to Him on His terms. Confess your faith, having turned from sin and repentance, be baptized into Christ so that the blood that He shed for us can wash your sins away. And it may be that you've been without, that you've wandered away, that you're not experiencing that withness and need to come back home. Jesus also died so that you could do that too. If you need the prayers of the church, please let that be known, but please come right now as we stand and sing.